my friends. This is missionary James Robinette, and by the Lord's marvelous grace, I am blessed to worship him today in the teaching and preaching ministry of the Word. It is my blessing to meet with you, dear radio listener, at this time also. May the Lord bless you with precious truth, with spiritual knowledge and grace today. Friends, our text today is found in Colossians chapter 1 in verse 5. That verse reads, in the New King James Version, the Holy Bible, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. God's precious and powerful word, may we hear it and receive it, believe it, and act faithfully on it this day. You can learn more about our ministry, Mission Africa, at www.missionafricajk.home.blog. Friends, let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your gracious word. Thank you, Lord, that in it we see that our hope can be found only in Jesus Christ, a hope which is laid up in heaven for those who believe in him, and that those who do believe have heard the word of truth, the word of the truth of the gospel, and believed it, and received the precious gospel as the very word of God, as the truth that it is. Overcome our unbelief and strengthen our faith, Lord, and enable us to hold fast to you in a true and living and vibrant faith. Bless the teaching of the Word of God today and achieve your intended purposes of strengthening our faith, and help us to recognize the lies and deceptions of the devil, which are so loudly and frequently proclaimed these days. Help us to stand in the truth in these last days. I ask it in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen and amen. Friends, this week here in America, we were stunned to hear once again of a shooting in a public school, this time an elementary school, in which very young children, 19 of them, were shot and killed in the classroom. Two teachers also died, and the police were able finally to overcome the man who was shooting. He was killed in this tragedy. Obviously, the young man who did the killing did not believe the Word of God, God's commandment given to us so clearly in the Old Testament and also in the law of Christ in the New Testament, that we are not to murder, that God forbids murder, the taking of another life in murder. And after reflecting upon this man's disobedience to the Word of God and the really tragic consequences of that disobedience, truly the wages of sin is death and destruction, I thought about how it is that the church today, believers today all around the world, are being here in the media, in various types of media, the lies of the devil. And we want to take a look at some of those lies, vain philosophies of men that have influenced the church here in America and, I fear, around the world. And my hope in doing this is that as we see the truth of the gospel, and as we learn more about these false beliefs and philosophies of men, that we will then be helped to recognize them and hold more clearly and firmly and surely, faithfully, to the word of truth, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because simply, lies corrupt, but the truth of God saves us, gives us grace, and builds us up in the faith. Our text in the book of Colossians speaks so clearly of this, in that it is the word of the truth of the gospel that brings a hope of forgiveness of sins and eternal life to us. And the hope we have is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is now in heaven, so that our hope is bound to Christ in heaven, a hope that is laid up for us in heaven, Paul says. We began to hope when we heard the word of the truth of the gospel. and believed it. Before, we heard only the proclamations, the thoughts and philosophies of the world, which were corrupt by nature of the fallenness of the world. But in Christ, we hear the pure truth, the pure milk of the Word, the food of the Word, the grace-giving, life-saving truth of the Word of God, which Paul calls here the gospel, the Word of truth. In the book of Colossians, Paul is dealing with false teachings, which are called basic principles of the world or philosophies. We find in helpful teaching aids from R.C. Sproul's ministry, Ligonier Ministries, these thoughts, which serve as a background to help us understand Paul's writings in the book of Colossians. The Colossian church was planted by Epaphras, it is believed, and about 5 to 7 years after founding the Colossian church, Epaphras joined Paul in prison at Rome. We find that in Acts chapter 28 and in Colossians 4, verses 12 through 13. And Epaphras told Paul, the apostle, about a strange teaching which was threatening the health of his home church in Colossae, and he remained with Paul and prayed for the churches of the Lycus Valley. Colossae is in the Lycus Valley in Phrygia, that is, in South Central Asia Minor, now modern Turkey. And one of the characteristics and themes of the book of Colossians is that Paul addresses in this letter the Colossian Christians who were struggling with a Greek-influenced form of Jewish philosophy that viewed Christians as still vulnerable to spiritual forces. Jewish thinking, which was prevalent at that time, common in the area of Phrygia, believed that spiritual forces must be placated through worship or some type of discipline, of the offering of food and drinks, and by honoring certain days prescribed in the Old Testament ceremonial law. Paul's intention to combat these falsehoods is to show that Christ has all authority and that believers are complete in Christ, that Christ is the sinless and perfect one, the head of all creation, God in human nature. The correction was so necessary because the Colossian Christians, being influenced by this false teaching, this Jewish philosophy, and they acted on these false beliefs wrongly. Their belief, their assumption, their knowledge led them to a false, wrong application. And so they were not only believing lies, but they were acting on these lies and acting contrary to the Word of God. False doctrine brings about false practice. So that within a few years of the inception of Christianity among these Phrygians, Epaphras and Paul found that an appetite had emerged for something more than the crucified and risen Christ in the church. Certain features of the false teaching are seen. The false teaching claimed to be a philosophy in Colossians 2, verse 8, a term that often in the Hellenistic age referred not to rational inquiry, but to occult speculations and practices based on a body of tradition. Rather than place full value and trust in Christ, crucified and risen, the Colossians were placing their trust in legal ordinances, food regulations, Sabbath and new moon observance, and prescriptions of the Jewish calendar. Colossians 2:11 indicates that circumcision was probably also a stumbling block, as it was seen to be one of the legal requirements of the Old Covenant ceremonial law. Simply, aspects of the ceremonial law were insisted upon. These Old Testament ceremonial laws and regulations had been abolished with the coming of the gospel. And so the danger is clearly seen The Colossians were being taught to keep something that was no longer in effect, that God did not require them to keep, that God did not command them to keep. This is a disobedience, and in seeking to keep these requirements, they in fact were putting themselves again under the law and not looking to Christ, worshiping Christ, trusting Christ in his fullness, in his grace. There was also confusion about the role of angelic spirits. Paul stresses the Lord Christ's superiority to and victory over dominions and powers in chapter 1, verse 16, and chapter 2, verses 10 and 15. And Paul uses the phrase basic principles of the world in chapter 2, verse 8 and 20, as he does in Galatians 4, verse 3, Paul arguing against the basic principle that life with God comes through works righteousness. But the letter of Colossians implies that there was a competition between Christ and spirit beings, which suggests a more transcendent and sinister background in the false teaching. The Greek word translated basic principles was used in this time period to refer to gods of stars and planets, and even to the physical elements, earth, wind, fire, and water, that were thought to control the destiny of men and women. And pagan gods were thought to be astral and cosmic powers in the pagan thinking. The Colossians were coming under the influence of pagan piety, which encouraged submission to angels and the worship of angels, as we see in Colossians 2, verse 18. In Colossians chapter 1, in verses 9 and 10, we see Paul's stress on knowledge, truth, and wisdom, and how necessary it was for the Colossians to hold to the truth in Christ Jesus, to only and fully hold to the truth in Christ Jesus. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, Christ's will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We see here that they could fully please God and Christ and be fruitful in every good work for the Lord as they were filled with the knowledge of God and Christ's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding and increased in the knowledge of God. Paul says that this was his prayer for the Colossians. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, we read, Him we preach, Christ, the hope of glory. Him we preach, Paul writes, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And verse 29, To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Paul speaks of his ministry in which he conveys wisdom to men, warning them, teaching them in all wisdom, in the hope that some will believe the gospel and be presented perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul labored for this. Paul labored with striving according to God's working. In other words, Paul strives to labor knowing that God is working through him mightily to bring truth to people, to save people, and to establish people in the truth. We also see in Colossians chapter 2 in verses 1 through 5, which read, For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Paul expresses his great concern for the Colossians and the believers in Laodicea. He says that he has a great conflict, that he is engaged in a great struggle for them and for those who had not seen his face in the flesh, that is, those he had not seen personally. He is writing, bringing truth to Colossae and to Laodicea, though he has not seen them in person. He's involved in a spiritual battle as he brings truth to them in his concern for their well-being. And his concern is that their hearts may be encouraged. Here again, lies bring discouragement, truth great encouragement, and Christians, even in the best of circumstances, are always in need of encouragement in this fallen world because there is so much that we can be discouraged by, and it is not uncommon for all people to be discouraged, yes, even for Christians to be discouraged in the face of the great struggles and difficulties in life. Paul's concern for them is that they be united in love, Christian love, being knit together in love. This unity is based upon the truth. As they are agreed in the truth, they have a true unity and are therefore knit or bound together in unity. They are united in love. But as they are influenced by lies and false teaching, their bond of unity in love is weakened. Paul's concern for them is that they may attain to all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Here we see that a true understanding of God and His will, the Word of God, leads us to assurance. And there is a rich and full assurance that comes through understanding. Paul also speaks of the knowledge of the mystery of God. Truth reveals the nature of God, the mystery of God here, a knowledge of God that was before hidden but has been revealed in the New Testament dispensation. And the mystery of God deals with the nature of both the Father and of Christ, the eternal Son of God, the deity of Christ. The Godhead of God is revealed in the mystery of God. In the Father and in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This knowledge of God, of the Father and of Christ, was in the most part hidden from men before. But now, remarkably, in the coming of Jesus Christ, this knowledge of God, of the Father and of Christ has been made known. It has been revealed in a treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Paul brings the treasure of wisdom and knowledge before them in his teaching so that they are not deceived by the persuasive words of the false teachers. Though he was not present with them actually, yet he was present with them in spirit, he said, rejoicing to see their good order and steadfastness of their faith in Christ. Both are dependent upon the truth, true teaching, good order in the church, and steadfastness of faith in Christ in the church. And in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10, we read, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding with it in thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power." Here Paul encourages the believers that they have received Christ Jesus the Lord, and as they have received Him by faith, so they are to walk in Christ Jesus the Lord by faith. And walking with the Lord by faith will bring about that they are rooted and built up, edified, built up in Christ, established in the faith, secure in the faith, grounded in the faith, immovable in the faith, as they have been taught that this strength and faith is dependent upon the Word of God, the truth, the teaching, and the pure doctrine of God would lead to an abounding in truth, in faith, with thanksgiving to God. The truth of God does what nothing else can possibly do. The truth of God saves us, gives us faith, strengthens our faith, purifies our faith, builds up our faith. The Word of God, the truth of God, simply establishes us, makes us immovable in Christ. It does so many other things too. It gives us discernment that we can recognize the truth and hold to the truth and turn from the lies of the devil, who is constantly attacking us with his lies. But the truth of God makes a Christian complete, strong, able to stand, enduring, joyful, and thankful in God. Paul further warns them to beware lest any person, anyone, plunder them or take them captive or bring them again into bondage, cheat them. And this plundering of their faith, cheating them, lying to them, deceiving them, trapping them, taking them captive, comes about through the lies of philosophy and empty deceit, deception, lies. Because it is through philosophy and empty deceit, which is in accord with the tradition and teaching of men, which is in accord with the basic principles of the world, a belief in the basic principles of the world and not of Christ. Paul says, these lies are not according to Christ, but truth accords with Christ, and in him, Jesus Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. An amazing verse. The fullness of God dwells in a bodily form, in a human nature, in the body of Jesus Christ. And the fullness of God makes believers in Christ to be complete in Christ, lacking nothing, complete, able to stand, able to believe, able to overcome the world by faith, able to avoid the pitfalls and snares and traps of the devil who seeks to plunder them, weaken them, take them captive, and destroy them. But they are complete in Christ. He is the head of all principality and power. Here again, Paul is refuting the lie that principalities and powers, angelic beings, are to be worshipped, submitted to, and placated. Christ is the head of all principality and power. He has all authority over them as their creator. And so wonderfully, praise the Lord, believers are complete in Christ, who is the head of all principality and power. We'll continue at this point next Lord's Day, God willing, to talk more about the philosophies of the world, the lies that were influencing the Colossians, and then we'll look at modern day lies that are having influence upon God's church today. Friends, let us pray. Father, thank you for the precious truth. God, how thankful I am that this sermon has contained your precious word, and so I have hope that you will achieve great and glorious spiritual purposes through your word, which is all-powerful, the truth which sets sinners free and makes us complete in Christ. And God, as I deal with the matter of exposing lies, the lies of the devil, bringing truth to people, especially to your church in this sermon, I pray that you will guard the hearts of my listeners in the truth. Bring truth to them. Hold the truth in their hearts. Do not allow the devil to steal the truth away from their hearts, but enable them to learn about these important issues that they must come to understand in these last and evil days. Strengthen them in the truth. Thank you for your grace, Lord. We worship you, Lord, the head of all creation, in whom truth, precious truth, is found, and only in you, Christ Jesus, the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.